I am unashamed. What about you?
So we're back again. No face paint today. Y'all decided to clean
up.
Well,
you know, everybody. Well, we had
time to wash it off.
On day four of this duck season, we just went and shot full limits of mallards and gadwalls, a few woodies, by 9 o'clock.
When's the last time that happened?
Years.
we have not done that well that early that much.
Well, it's funny because Mom, I went by Mom's first, and I didn't know. I knew y'all were back, but then she said, "Do you think they got them?" And I said, "Well, no, they're in early." I said, "You think they got full limits?" And she was like, "Well, I don't know. They've been doing the best, really good."
When you're a woman who happens to be y'all's mother, if she's inquiring about, did y'all get them?
That's right.
I mean, how'd you do?
Good. Well, she said. The next thing she told me, she said, "You know, your daddy is just so happy. I mean, they're killing ducks over there, and it just makes all the difference in his happiness."
Well, what happened was this morning, you know, I was late. I wasn't late here, but I was cutting brush. And I had to get a trailer because my rig was loaded down. So they're all in the bank waiting on me so they can go out there and sit
right, and
watch me and Jay get ready. And we went to a place that was hard. We had to park the boat. There's no boat run. Well, we had to take two boats because I had all the brush.
Yep.
Of course, Phil was like, "Well, the blind's already brushed." But I was thinking about the hurricane. So I thought, I don't know. Well, when we got up there.
So the hurricane stripped the blind.
Well, it stripped my side.
70-mile-hour wind.
Yeah, that's hard to hold brush.
So I had all the brush, which if we had no brush, guess what? No full limits. We killed zero. And there was no wind. And so we didn't bring that dog. So we had no whining. And it's we call it the elm hole. It's a real intimate.
It's one of my favorite.
It's awesome.
It's super tight. If you get them in there, it's a death.
How high are we up? It's a tree.
Foot.
It's a treehouse for adults.
It's funny, as I used to hate it until y'all redid it, because me and Godwin are usually in the middle, and used to be in the middle of that blind, you couldn't shoot. It was a big old live tree.
I kind of like that part.
Yeah, I'm sure y'all did. So I was like, well, I'm just going to come out here and sit and watch somebody kill ducks. But it's fixed. So
it was funny.
But so I love the hole.
They weren't saying a word to me, because they were... Of course, it's getting daylight. I'm looking at my clock. I'm running on my phone. I'm like, we're going to be late.
Right.
Because it's too far a walk. It's a real open area, so I had to pull the boat probably half a mile. And this year, the ground is soft where the water is.
Because we had so much water, right?
It's the most difficult walking. So by the time I get to the blind, I don't care who's mad. I'm worn out. And so then Jay was trying to get all the decoys ready, but he was it's just a lot for one man, and I'm, you know, shuttling the boats.
Now the young bucks, I've been calling them,
but
I just looked up one day, and they're in their 50s now.
That's right.
So the young bucks are in their 50s.
Nobody's,
you see what I'm saying?
Nobody's young. And
and that's the problem. I'm 55, but I'm leaning the other way because I got a bad knee. I can't walk in mud.
That's
the problem.
The first couple ducks came in, flared, and so Si was standing up in the middle of the blind. But I've made a vow. I'm not going to gripe. I just, he's Si.
Yeah.
And so I noticed, Phil said, "Si, you going to get out?" So he just stood there.
Well, Si has a theory. He thinks he's invisible.
Well, he does.
As long as he's still.
He stood there for about a minute after Phil had said it. And I thought, is he that stubborn? And look, then he sat down. And as soon as he sat down,
it started. Yeah.
And then we killed them the whole time.
Because when you're up off the water like that, I mean, you're a lot more visible to everything flying around.
Well,
it was built though. We hidden pretty well.
It was fun. It was me, Phil, Jay, Si, and Phyllis.
Yeah.
I think Phyllis, you know, because she had to kill her limit too.
Right.
So that probably took the longest, but she did. She's coming along. Yeah. But then
she
noticed
it too.
Everybody, you know, what happened was, and it's just like life. Whenever you get up on the mountaintop of duck hunting, which is full limits by 9 o'clock, which was awesome, All that stuff that happened this morning, that's all a distant memory. Everybody was smiling and happy. And so it was a perfect lead in to my wife. I was going to say, maybe
it was your shirt you were wearing.
I had this shirt, which here's a funny story. She came in last night and she said, "Hey, would you show this shirt on the podcast for the we have, most of y'all know that we have a charity for kids with cleft lip and palate." In Mia's idea, our daughter, because she
and actually, how old was she when y'all started that? She was young.
About eight.
Yeah.
It was her idea.
It was incredible.
Well, I told this story, it's kind of moving. She said she heard me speak one night, and Missy, which was, we learned that doesn't go well together because I'm used to doing the talking. Y'all know that. And then when we did an event together, she was like, "Are you going to let me talk?" She said that in front of everybody. Was they all loud?
I was like, oh, it's a good joke, but she wasn't joking.
Yeah, she wasn't good. I can see it in her eye.
What's funny is me and Lisa speak almost exclusively together, but what we do to make it work is I do a thing, and then she does a thing, and then I do a thing. So it's
We just went out there not without a plan.
Yeah, you were just going to go off the cuff, which me and you did one time together in San Antonio. But we can do that.
She was getting her feelings hurt because she felt like I was stepping on her.
Well, Dad and Mom couldn't speak together. I mean, that would never work. You know, Mom would just be butting in the whole time.
But anyway, after the event, Mia said, "Well, when am I going to tell my story?" And then she wrote her story out. I was like, we both cried, and I was like, I think it's time. And so we started the Mia Moo, and what we do is we'll pay an occasional surgery, but we basically plug in these families to a network, and because we're trying to give them hope based on Romans 5. You know, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. That's what we're after.
Yep.
And sometimes we do little gift baskets, or especially when they're first diagnosed and they come out, and things that you need that you don't realize you need. And so we're one of the few charities that 100% of the donations go to the families because we pay any kind of expense.
You don't have any kind of administrative costs like most charities.
Right. Well, we pay it.
Right.
So out of our pocket. Right. And so she, look, this is, what do you think of her shirt? It kind of has a coronavirus theme. Smile is contagious. You see, everybody's worried. So she's thinking. I thought, babe, now that is genius. But that was 100.
In California, the spread more than anything else is singing spiritual songs.
That's right. Yeah.
That right there is dangerous.
And they say if you sing, it has to be no louder than a whisper.
I know, we keep bringing that up. Yeah. But look, so if you want to buy... But
in the schools, it's against the law. The Supreme Court ruled that you can't pray to God even a silent prayer.
Well, that's just stupid.
If you put your head down like that, they see you. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm thanking God for the hamburger." Yeah, it's against the law.
In the
to pray
every state
silently.
Every state
is that a certain state?
Sure.
Well, I need to read up on that. Yeah, so anyway, if you want to order one of these, you go to miamoo.org.
If I'm out of line on that, let somebody contact me. But
I'm sure I'll check into it.
They'll look it up.
Oh, they'll look it up.
Google it myself.
I wouldn't be surprised if certain states had that. I didn't know if it was a national thing. It's interesting, though, Jace, you brought up that text in Romans 5, which is really a wonderful text. I mean, the whole Romans thing is good. Somebody sent us a thing, because we get questions from people all the time, and it just said, "We need a Roman study." That's what they said. And it's funny because we've been talking about where we go from here.
It's my favorite book of the Bible.
It's awesome. In fact, we've been talking about maybe writing a book somewhere down the road.
I camp out there just about all the time.
So I love that.
I got to go with John just because I want to focus on Jesus.
No, we did the right thing. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit he has given us. The reason I was going to mention that, because you brought it up, is that when you're going through something difficult, you know, we're human beings. None of us want to go through that stretch we just mentioned.
That's right.
But you have to, and the process is where you learn. Just like you guys and Mia, I mean, from our standpoint, we, of course, we're in it with you through the surgeries and all that stuff. But when I see the process of what happens over a course of, you know, now she's almost, what, she's 17 years old?
17. And look, I'll tell you a good story.
I never thought, even when she had the multiple operations and they showed me some pictures, but it's one of these things where when I saw her, and I've seen her throughout all the operations, they've done, they do tremendous work these days.
Amazing.
The way they arrange their faces and all. But I never saw the, you know, I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
But I never saw it. You see right. what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, and that's what happens when you're in the family. In fact, I think the biggest shock.
I mean, I saw her, but I didn't.
The biggest shock for us was when she sort of transitioned from the cleft lip, like that surgery that sort of really made her look different. That was more of a shock to the family.
Oh, it's devastating to me.
Yeah, because we had been so used to her being the way she was. But you know, it's interesting, Jason. I thought back. I still remember because Lisa was with Missy when she saw that first ultrasound when they discovered.
Oh yeah.
That she. You know, now they can look inside the womb with these 3 and 4D images.
Most of the time.
Yeah. So you can know, and that's Missy and Jason knew. But I just remember from the moment of finding that out, and then what you have to go through in your mind is just what we just saw in Romans 5. And of course, we walk with Jason and Missy through that moment.
It took me 3 months to get my attitude straight. Missy
right.
and I both.
Right.
We kind of had our pity party. We're like, why is this happening? Which yeah. is what people do when sufferings come their
sure.
way. You start blaming God.
And it's understandable. Why. It's nobody likes
you,
pain.
Girl, whew, she's inspiring. But I was going to tell you a funny story last night. Because the last time we did our podcast, or maybe the one before, we were talking about this internet, the cell phone, and yep. what do you do with the kids. And well, last night, Mia said, I'm going to cook supper for y'all. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. Now, you know how picky the Robertsons are. So oh, I was already nervous.
I don't know whether I'd ever cut a deal like that.
And we're not cutting a deal. She come in there and made an announcement. I wasn't going to say, no, it's during the holidays. She wants to cook. I said, I'll try anything once. She said, are you excited? I said, nope. And she said, why? I said, because I'm trying to have low expectations here. I said, when somebody tells me to go see a movie, it's the best movie ever. It's never going to be good because my expectations are too high.
And mom is the worst because every movie mom sees is the best movie.
It's the best. She's like, it's the best movie you'll ever see. You know, I'll go up there and I'm like, no, give it a 4.
Well, I'm to the point to where when they, no matter who it is that dreams up a big recipe, you know, I'm pretty well saying, no. I said, Miss Kay, you cook. You cook it. I eat your cooking. I
said, the other cooking. That's still bad.
Said, so here's what happened. Look, so she has a friend. And she brings over a friend. Well, it was one of the 8, and I told this story. You'll have to go back into the archives. But when we had our phone intervention, you know, I posed as my daughter on this Snapchat for a couple of days, and I got to know her 8 best friends on there. And then I basically said, if you want to keep hanging out with my daughter, you will need to bring one of your parents or both and to my house, and we're going to make better decisions moving forward. Well, 6 or 7 of the 8 came to my house with their mom. No dad showed up. That's fine. The mom. Well, one of these girls, now we're 2 years on
right.
this side of it. She was one of the girls. I hadn't seen her since because now Mia's pretty much in Austin. And so she walked in. I was like, hey, you know. Of course, what they did as a result, I don't know if it was as a result, I don't want to misspeak, but she's homeschooled now.
Yep.
So, which same thing when you start trying to get your kids to heaven, sometimes you have to do drastic things.
That's right.
And I'm all for it. You make spiritual Jesus decisions mm-hmm. to get your kids to heaven. I'm for it. I just think God will bless you in that.
Well, you can't keep the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to shock the system. Let's take a quick break. So, Dad, the other day you were in here before we started rolling camera, and you were showing us your hair is getting a little grayer and a little thinner for the first time. But you're 74. It's pretty amazing. You held on to your hair longer than most.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing because your dad was bald pretty early. I mean, Paul was he was bald, you know, by the time he was my age. So one of our sponsors that's been with us a long time, of course, is Keeps. You hear us talk about it quite a bit. And basically what they're trying to do is maybe start that process way earlier. If you're losing your hair, you're young, you don't want to go the whole peeled onion goatee look, which a lot of guys do. You see that? So you might want to keep, you know, your hair for just a little while longer. So you, the way you do this is from your own home. You don't have to go anywhere. You go online, Keeps, KEEPS.com/door. You're going to get 50% off your first order for the hair loss treatments. When you get on there, you're going to check out and see if you're able to do this product or not. So it's Keeps.com, KEEPS.com/door for 50% off and keep your hair.
You have to break that cycle. And whether it's getting new friends or, you know, you have to break the cycle of the device. But anyway, so I thought it was really cool because they just seemed to be bubbling over with joy. They were cooking. They were giggling. They would come in there. Can you smell? What do you think it is? You know, and so I was like, I have no idea. I heard something about gravy, and so I was thinking, gravy's not easy. So I was not feeling good about this whatsoever. Yeah,
gravy's more than the 401.
But so anyway, yeah. When all the smoke had cleared, literally, because there was a little smoke, I go in there, and I'm like, what is it? I couldn't identify.
You couldn't identify?
Couldn't identify. And she said, this is gourmet macaroni and cheese. I said, all right, well, I like macaroni and cheese. Yeah,
that would be enough for me to say, what am I doing this for?
So, but I saw.
By the way, did I ever inquire or recommend? I tell you what, you boys going in and rustle me up some grub. No, never said that. Did I ever ask you to rustle up a good meal?
It was a teenager meal. She had biscuits. She made some biscuits, and she had macaroni and cheese. But it was, I mean, it had a little roux to it because I saw where they'd cut up an onion, and there were different things, and it had breadcrumbs on it, and there was like five different cheeses on it, and it was a different kind of noodles. And I'm going to tell you, I took a bite, loved it. It was great, fantastic. I was like, you need to do this the next time we do macaroni and cheese at our Thanksgiving thing. Oh, it was
you're a better man than I.
It was a carb comfort food teenager. Because they were, I noticed their pile, her and her friend, was twice as big as my pile.
Because Mia loves some mac and cheese, doesn't she?
She loves macaroni and cheese.
I always think about her when we go eat at Capital Grill.
Mine's a little deeper than that because to learn how to really cook well, it has to be critiqued. So you can learn from your errors.
I saw no problem with this.
So, but a lot of people out there that they don't want their cooking critiqued.
Right.
If you say something, how was it? I'm like, if you'd have hit that salt shaker one more time, it'd have been too much.
Which is really saying it's too salty.
No, my point is, look, here's my point. My daughter could have said, I'm going to go be with some friends, or she's 17. But she said, I want to cook for y'all. She invited one of her friends, who I love and adore.
But it was
a
good gesture for you, even if it was bad.
Then they played the piano for 2 hours, because she's awesome.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was a wonderful evening.
Yeah. And you're right. you got out of your comfort zone to be able to have a good evening for her.
It was a good gesture.
And my expectations were so low. If it was edible, I would have been happy. It was actually phenomenal.
But it's interesting, Dad, because we've talked about this several times on the podcast. Now that Phyllis has, entered our world and our life, is that you raising boys, it's a different mindset with boys. Like, I had girls, too, and granddaughters first.
I would girls have no idea how to raise girls.
I know. It's a different mindset.
I'm glad I was spared that. I mean, I'm glad.
Well, here's my
now vote. You're doing
you
it
need to let them cook for you occasionally, in my opinion.
I mean, the rearing phase is over when you run up on, like in her situation.
Yeah, she's 45 years old.
45. But she's still a trooper as far as going to the duck blind.
And let's face it, she still wants to be around you. If she moved down here and lived next door, it's because she wants to be around you. So there's something about a daughter to her dad. She wants to matter.
Yeah, there's something to
that. And boys are, not that you don't want to matter, but we're just different. Jason and Willie cooked when they were teenagers, but it was toast, pizzas.
No, I cooked everything I could.
I mean, but it was all just to fill their bodies were just, you know, teenage boys are just like great white sharks.
Jace was doing the commentary when we were teaching her how to shoot. She went to the course,
from
the state. So she had a feel for her weapon, how to load it. But now we're down to actually shooting ducks. So yeah. one, somebody crippled one, and the duck's swimming away. And she's, all right, get after it. So, all right, Phyllis, your duck, shoot him. Boom, about 2 foot over. And Jay said, pull your gun down. You're not looking down your barrel. You're shooting too high. So now we're at that stage.
Yep.
You know.
But she got it. It took
It's
half a box of shells.
She's coming along. Yeah.
Well, she was the opening day. She was.
We've never hunted with a woman like that.
What happens is with duck hunting, and we just I guess you just did it naturally, but it's one fluid motion.
Yeah, but you it's a learned thing. You just can't remember.
Right, because we were so young.
It is. You're right. I mean, when I was 4 or 5 years old, I was.
You could at least get a gun up on your shoulder and shoot, right?
Oh, I'm shooting a BB gun like an assassin.
They say there's more and more women duck hunters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's growing.
Well, women in hunting in general is a big deal. And a lot of the more popular shows on the Outdoor Channel are like couples.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. I think the more people that hunt, the better. Because if not, we lose all these generations of hunters, and then you don't have people to conserve for wildlife.
Well, with anything,
it's been a little change of format, because when it's just men, you know, you just cut a V-shaped hole and somebody's felt, and, you know, and you just pee through the hole.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you got your daughter sitting there, you know, you're like, okay.
That was the biggest conversation last Saturday was, what are we going to do about peeing? And I was just like, well, I just walk around.
Imagine her.
Yeah.
She's got a hold.
I told her yesterday we had a big, we're floating on logs, and I said, that log plenty enough to hold you. I said, there's many a coon taking a leak here. You can do it too. I said, get out there on that log behind the blind. You know, she's out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
I said, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. I said, but we'll just
It's
stand.
An option.
The night before opening day, that was her biggest question. What do I do if I have to pee? I said, go pee. I mean, the end of the day, you got to go.
Hey,
now, she's got some kind of apparatus.
But, you know, in our society.
Ladies and gentlemen, I must admit to all of you, I'm 74 years old. But if someone had asked me, would we ever have a female in the duck blind duck hunting with us, I'd have said, I doubt that'll ever happen. But until she showed up.
It's
my
happening.
Own daughter, I just getting the four-wheeler.
I think she's got as much drive as, like, it's skipped over. I mean, you like going, but you're not passionate.
Oh, I'm not passionate about
Willie, no. Jep, meh. But she's in.
I gave her a little crash course on how to drive a four-wheeler and an Argo, you know, and I said, okay, get over and fire that thing up. She's looking around there. I mean, you know, I said, gear shift on your right, jamming up in there, forward. And so here we go, you know. Yeah. I was watching her.
Well, she went with Stone. She likes to deer hunt, too. And so she and Stone and BK went yesterday. And killed
they come hauling in 3 deer.
I know.
I had ordered one. So
I tell you what, you tell Stone you need some deer meat, and it ain't long before you got deer meat.
We have high protein, what do they call it, organic. We got organic meat coming out of the woods, high protein, deer, ducks. Everybody's happy, you know.
Yeah.
We have baked ducks coming up and Thanksgiving duck and dressing, you know, and duck wraps. Stone was getting some ready, you know, the tenderloins, you know, the cream cheese in them, you know, wrapped in bacon, you know. We're getting way on out there.
Well, and, you know, we were talking about cooking.
It is great food.
The
really
men,
is.
The Robertson men, and now the Marians like Stone, some pretty good cooks.
Yeah.
You know, Willie's a great cook.
I actually can eat Stone's
cooking. Jace
is
a good cook. Yeah.
I need his cooking.
Stone, and he researches it. You know, when he's trying to figure out what he's going to do, he goes and looks and sees what other people do.
Cooking
That's how you learn how to
smoke. Cooking is a skill set.
It is.
Big time.
Well, you know, Lisa started out, she couldn't cook anything. But we were next door to Mom, so she observed, she watched, and she knew this kind of food I like. Now, she couldn't pull it off till about after 5 years, but then she started making those same dishes that I grew up eating. Now she's a fine.
By the way, Jace, I saw the sweet potatoes out. They had washed them all up. They just fixed to bake them and cook
That's
them in
a
the
tradition.
Oven.
That is the original tradition, like no other.
Sweet
on Thanksgiving,
pie.
I eat a whole pie. You know, just,
that day,
I just
right?
grab it. No, I just grab it and eat it. So I'm wondering if I'll come up to a point.
There's
in my
an
life.
Art to cooking a sweet potato pie. Trust me, I've
well,
tried a few people.
There's an art to
I'm
eating
like,
a whole
no.
one in one sitting. It's not easy.
Miss K, your mama, her grandma that taught her that.
Well, and your mom.
Especially the crust.
And your mom. So, Granny, let's take another break. So, one of our sponsors, a company called Scoremaster, what they've done is they've kind of come up with a way to be able, an algorithm, to be able to bump up your credit score, which is helpful for young families that are trying to refinance a home or buy a car. A lot of questions now going on about, because of anytime you have a leadership change in the country, what's going to happen? Interest rates, you know, a lot of that was stock market. Yeah. So there are a lot of people, you know, a little bit worried about it, and that's understandable. These guys basically can boost your numbers up to help you if you've got to do a loan. And so basically if you do their average, which is 61 points in 20 days, that saves you $9,000 on a car loan, or a house, $100,000, you know, over the course of a loan. So it's a good way to save some money over the long term. See how many plus points you can add to your credit score at scoremaster.com. That's scoremaster.com/Phil. So Granny, I can remember when we were young, she was next door, and so she would do the sweet potato pies and the pecan pies, and she'd usually do a fruitcake. But I just remember you'd always go in there, and she'd spend 2 days cooking, and just all over every surface in her kitchen, there was a pie. I mean, she would cook about, 12, 15 pies. Now mom does the exact same thing. I mean, she learned it. She learned from her grandmother, and then she learned from Granny. And she does the same thing. Mm-hmm. I always tell mom, I was like, she'll do something like that, and I say, you have to be an old lady to pull that off.
That's right.
You know, the young ones can't pull it off.
No.
Alex tries to do it now, but she just ain't got the seasoned yet. She's, you know, she's wanting to learn. She'll get it. Yep. But I said, you got to get older.
So where were we when we were so rudely interrupted last time?
We ran into Willie outside. He said, I started to just bust in y'all's podcast. I said, look, anytime you're down here, you bust in. You can sit in the chair. Sure. We can talk about the Bible. So we were talking about from John 18 and 19. And there were a few things we didn't quite tie up when we got to Pilate that I wanted to talk about today, because we talked about in my sermon, you know, we talked about these religious forces that are lined up against Jesus, but really they all got in together with the political forces. And you think about it, so their whole deal was, we're going to kill him. That was the plot. The religious leaders, he was a threat to their power, and they misunderstood the purpose of the Messiah, is why I think they missed the whole thing, because they thought he's going to come in, overthrow the Romans. Israel will now be the eternal kingdom in that spot over there. And they're still
standard old human construct.
Human construct.
Empires.
And so these religious leaders, they thought, well, we're just going to keep being the power people we are. And so they thought in their minds, that's why they wanted to kill him. Pilate doesn't want to kill him because his job is just to keep peace. I mean, he's an overlord. You just don't want any riots. You don't want any of this stuff. So it's really interesting. So Pilate is trying to come up with every possible reason not to execute Jesus. His problem was he was going up against the force of God because Jesus came here to die. In other words, there was no stopping it.
And he just didn't act like a normal. I mean, when you think about it, he came up there, they said, when they was going to arrest him, they said, we're looking for Jesus. I'm he.
Right.
Well, most people do the opposite. They're like, well, it wasn't me.
Right.
I heard. Then his buddies pull out a sword. So that's what we do. We're going to fight. We'll go he's like, no, don't do that.
Don't do that.
So
this is why, like you said last time, I came here to do this. And he's been telling the whole time.
Well, right. And then it's like, but even in the conversations, how many people can say, haven't you listened to everything I've ever said in public? Do you have anything that you can come up with? I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, is there anything I said that you find troubling? Crickets. Nothing. Then they attack him, and he's like, did you have this idea yourself, or did somebody else come up with it? Because he knows somebody else came up with the idea.
Right.
Amazing is we're in 18. Well, John 8, when Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, then you're really my disciples, and then you'll know the truth.
Right.
And the truth will set you free. And they're like, free? We're not slaves anymore. And he said, yeah, you are.
Right.
And he ended up by saying the one they were following was the father of lies, the devil, Jesus used the term devil, and he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth.
Right.
So there, you talk about these people were, he said, you're trying to kill me.
Right.
And the reason you're trying to kill me is you belong to your father, the devil.
That's right.
He said there's a relationship that's formed between people when Satan controls them.
And we talked about that last time.
They bow down to him.
That was the other force that was at work here, was the evil forces, because Satan was behind the whole thing. So here's what's interesting. So in the what you were talking about, Jace, which is 1833 through 38, which is the back and forth with Pilate and Jesus.
Well, and even I was making mention of before that, in that first trial when they struck him. And
right,
he's
with,
like,
the high priest.
If I said anything wrong, tell me what it is.
Right.
Crickets.
Yeah.
No, he didn't say anything wrong.
By the way, when we say, why, how in the world can you abort your children? And when you wrote on the notes here that sprung forth from John 18, 1 Timothy 6, 12, 13, fight the good fight of the faith. This is the Apostle Paul talking. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Jesus is Lord, you know.
Right.
In the sight of God, now just think about it. The person with all this banter back and forth with the religious authorities and the government authorities, and both of them are coming at him wide open. Mm-hmm. In the sight of God, and he makes this little statement, a lot of people don't realize, the weight of it doesn't hit them, who gives life to everything.
Yep.
I mean, he's saying anything you see alive.
Right.
Whether it be trees, they grow, they start up, and they produce fruit, and then they get old, and another one will take its place. Whether it's the cosmos, whether it's all these microbes, whether it's all the animal world, the human race, you're like, he gives life to everything.
Correct.
It's a pretty good statement when the final day is coming and they're out, and then he goes on, in who, while testifying, he gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. When Pilate said, you know, you're a king, he said, you've said it.
Right.
He said, that's the reason I came into the world. He's like.
You're right. So Paul mentions that.
Can you imagine a human being telling a sitting king that, yeah, well, you're right there.
And Paul mentioned it because Jesus said, he said, are you a king? And he said, well, you say I'm a king, but I came here to testify to the truth.
Yeah.
You know, which is that, and that's
the reason I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth here, Pilate, listens to me. And
right.
Pilate's answer was, what is truth?
So I thought
that's
about,
where we are 2020,
exactly.
2020 years later. We don't know what the truth is.
Because
anymore.
Think about a politician. There's two things that they're super afraid of. One is truth. You don't want an absolute truth.
No,
we got to
right.
be able to work out a deal, right? Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, you don't want a side. He said everyone on the side of truth. Politicians are always trying to play it down the middle. We want to try to make everybody happy and be popular.
Yep. Do you remember what he said? It's like when Thomas said, show us the way. How do we get to heaven? Which is what people even today say. How do you get there? And he's like, I am the way. But then he said, I am the truth. So when he said, what is truth? He's our Jesus. The question would have been better if he'd have said, who?
Right.
I mentioned that in my sermon. We don't think that way.
Right.
Neither was Pilate, because you were never thinking that a person is truth.
Yeah.
Anything coming out of his mouth is undeniable truth. Which to me, that's why I keep going to the details of all
Plus,
the things he said.
It was all.
How do you make all that up? That's why when The Passion, that movie, Mel Gibson came out, well, what do you know? The most watched movie or top three. It's because this story is so, of who Jesus is and what he said is so profound and so startling. It defies logic to say, well, somebody just invented this, because it's almost the opposite of what we would think. Everything we would do in this type of situation, well, he seemed to do the opposite.
Right. Which, let's take a break.
Hi, It's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Which is why I think that the religious leaders were after him so bad. Think about it. He shows up. He just goes straight to the people, starts teaching, doing parables. He's got this little ragtag group around him. He doesn't go to them. You'd think if anybody was going to be the Messiah,
that's the first place you'd go.
That first place you go is to go to the people in charge.
Or you'd use some kind of weapons, like when brought the sword. That's not my thing here.
Think about it. So he tells Pilate, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. He says it twice. And Pilate said, well, you are a king then. So he's got his narrative going. But what do you think Pilate would say? So where is this kingdom? Is it on another planet?
Okay, this guy's different.
Well, he's looking at Jesus, and he's thinking about how he even got there.
But you know what?
No, I think he was thinking he's good. This guy's a good guy. He didn't want to be violent. He's just doing good. He's helping people. But then when he heard that statement, he thought, oh, he's crazy.
So remember this. So here's something I want to bring out today. It's not in the John text, but if you go look at the Luke account, so Pilate gets to a point right after this. He comes out. He says, look, you know, let me – here's Barabbas. You know, he thought he had a political solution. You know, it's customary for me to release somebody, so let's release Jesus, you know, because obviously he's the king of you. And let's – this other guy, who, by the way – a lot of manuscripts say Barabbas' name was Jesus Barabbas. So I was saying, here's another Jesus. If you just got to have a Jesus, let's get this guy, because everybody knows he's a criminal. Of course, then they're like, crucify him. So what Pilate does, he hears that Jesus was from Galilee. So again, like a politician, he says, oh, wait a minute. I'll send him to Herod, who was the tetrarch, you know, which is basically four sons of Herod the Great. They're running four regions of Israel. And so he said, well, I'll just send him up there, because we know Herod has the authority to kill, because he killed John the Baptist. He cut his head off because he was, you know, talking about their family situation. Mm-hmm. So he sends him up to Herod thinking, that's how I'll get rid of him. The problem was, and I was going to mention this, Dad, so Herod the Great, this is what's ironic, because Jesus said, for this reason I was born. Herod the Great, you remember, was the one when Jesus was born. The Magi came, and they had this prophecy, and they'd seen all the stars. They were like, "There's, you know, the Messiah is coming." So he got all nervous about it, because he thought, well, so he's going to knock me off my throne. So after Jesus was born, you know, God spoke to Joseph and Mary and took Jesus into Egypt to protect him. Herod the Great kills all the infant males in Galilee. I mean, you talk about it. We talk about abortion and stuff now.
It goes back to that innocent.
Exactly.
The attack on the innocent.
And what's sad is he killed him for nothing, because Jesus wasn't even there. You know?
And on top of all that, I have a book here. It's a Bible. You say, well, you idiots are in here talking about, you know, sins being removed and being bought back, redeemed by God, and you'll be eternal beings that live forever. We're like, yeah, that's the thrust of it. We also have, Al, not everything he said, because the books wouldn't hold it, according to one of the apostles. So when you look at this, you say, here it is. Well, someone gave me a sheet of paper the other day, and it had the world's best-selling books. And the Bible was so far ahead of everything else. But look, 3.9 billion over the last 50 years. In the last 50 years, from 1970 to 2020, 3.9, right at 4 billion books, this Bible were sold. So any way you want to slice it, why is it the number one seller every year and has been that way for a long time?
Since they started printing books.
Despite all the carnage we see in America and all over the world, you're like, man, that book is way ahead of all of them. The question would be why?
Right.
Why does it sell to so many people?
Because people are looking for truth, just what we talked about in this thing.
I think it's because when you get into the details of who Jesus is and what he says, this, even like this quote here when he was, you know, I don't know if y'all have ever been arrested, but he said, if I said something wrong, they struck him in verse 23 of 18. He said, if I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Well, he's the only person that's ever been on the planet past the age of accountability who could say that.
Yep.
Because he didn't do anything wrong.
Think about a man sitting, and he's sitting in the witness chair or whatever, and the judge is right beside him, and the attorneys are going at him. Think about a guy who would say, let me explain something to you. I've never done anything wrong. My entire life.
Yeah, not one time.
Not one misstep. Can any of you find where...
And he kept asking that question. If any of you has something against me, let's hear it.
That's a rare position.
He's the only person that can say, let me explain this to you. I'm not talking about having a skeleton in the closet. I don't have one bone.
I don't even have a closet.
I don't even have a closet. Yeah.
You know, and I'm somebody a carpenter. Like that, right. You're thinking, and they're looking at him, and they're like, let's see now. But they go to reeling back what they've heard, and they're like, this guy is sitting there flat-footed saying, can you find... But back in John 8 again.
He said it there. He said, can any of you prove me guilty of sin?
Yeah.
I remember the first time I
read
that.
Where'd I go wrong? Where'd I make one mistake?
I could never say something like that, which is what I mean.
No one can.
How do you invent a character? Which I've used people who are mad at God or had a bad religious experience. I've used this verse before and said, show me something that Jesus is wrong about. And I've read this.
Mm-hmm.
I have never had even an attempt of somebody said, well, I'll tell you what he's wrong about. Nope. Now, they may go somewhere else in the Bible.
Or talk about their own personal pain.
Or their own church, or, you know, Sister so-and-so did something to whatever. But no accusation against Jesus, which is incredible. If you just invented this story, how could you come up with every line that is infallible?
That's what I'm saying. Because all this... It is written.
Yep.
It is. Not only is it everything he said, I mean, it is written. It's written down.
And let's take one last break. And not only that, Dad, it had to be. You know, so many times we've been reading the book of John.
He
would say something, and then John would say, now he had to say this because it was said back here, Isaiah, Deuteronomy. I mean, all those fulfillments. Every
said, boy, whoever wrote that book, that was the number one seller from now on. Boy, we need to get on this thing about and write books the way they wrote books. But never realized, and you say, there's about 40 people put that together.
You think a publisher would be happy?
About 5,000
Would a publisher be happy if you came up with a book you could sell 4 billion of?
I think I teased this about 4 podcasts ago, and it just now occurred to me that I never cashed in on it. But the closest...
Well, you're good going back 4. I can't remember yet.
Well, the closest I ever came to being arrested, which the reason I was going to make this point, and I teased the story, is because... This is one time where I did nothing wrong. The closest I ever came to being arrested, I did nothing wrong.
You were innocent.
I was completely innocent. And the only reason I think I got away out of it is because my attitude came across that I didn't do this. And I'll tell you the story. I mean,
you're like the guy who gets hit by the pitch. And he couldn't fake it because it hurt, you know. So a lot of times an umpire, I mean, you know what I'm saying? What somebody saw.
Well, that's right. So now I'm going, it's way back. I was dating Missy. So that's how far we're going back, 30 years. But I'm leaving her house. It's late. You know, we used to sit in her driveway, trust me, we didn't do anything. We waited until we got married, and her dad would constantly stick that head, you know, out the window.
And you were close enough to he could get a visual on you.
Oh, yeah, he's looking.
Jace, he was not the most trusting father.
I can't blame him. So I'm leaving, and I'm headed home, which is about a 40-minute drive. And so I take a right at a flashing light. Cop pulls in behind me. I'm not going over the speed limit. Now, I made it worse because they flashed their lights and I kept going because I thought I hadn't done anything wrong. I'm not going over. Come on around me. So I rolled down my window and like, go ahead. They're like, pull over. So I tried that. So I pull over. You know, let me check your license.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't have it.
Ooh.
I couldn't find my wallet. Big shocker. Nothing's changed on that part of my life. So
technically now you have done something wrong because you're supposed to have your license.
I know, but now that's
because you started this by saying you were innocent.
I was innocent of the original crime because that's where we're getting to it. This is a good story. So when it was this woman state trooper, she said, get out of the vehicle. When I didn't have the license, she'd get out of the vehicle. And she said, your inspection sticker is expired.
Well, Jace, I said, you're guilty.
And you're piling them up. He said he's innocent.
You were a wrecking crew.
Just hang in there. And
was there a dead body in the
you
back?
You got to remember, I was in under your supervision. This wasn't my truck, which I said that. I said, this is not my truck. My parents own this truck.
Oh,
that's
boy.
On them.
I got a good story for
she
that.
She said, well, where's your insurance? I was like, you know, it's not my truck. I don't know. So I don't have any insurance. Inspection stickers expired. I don't have a license. But I said, now I'm getting the cuffs on after violation number 3.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why did you pull me over? That was the good question by old Jace. She said, well, you didn't come to a complete stop at that flashing red light. So I start thinking back. I never came across a flashing red light. So I thought.
You turned right at a flashing yellow light?
Yep. I said, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. She said, no, that's what you did. I said, well, if we go back there in your car, you're going to see that, and I told her the road, I said, you're going to see that light is flashing yellow. So whatever happens after that, you know, okay, I don't have an inspection. My inspection, you got me on that. Guilty. But then I did a key move, took the cuffs off now, because now this whole thing's built on a lie.
So once you got past the blinking light, she unlocked the cuffs.
Unlocked the cuffs then. And because she said, have you been drinking? Because it's after midnight. Right. I'm a young guy.
Teenage boy.
I look a little rough around the edges. And I said, I don't drink. I love Jesus. Yeah, that's
so
what
you've
I said.
Been using that line for a long time.
So then when she said, well, where's your driver's license? I said, the only ID I have is on this Bible. That's me. That's my name right here. So I'm trying here, even though I got some problems. And so eventually, the more the conversation went on.
You're winning her over.
I won her over. I won her over because she knew, she thought I had been drinking. She profiled me.
Most people, she
pulled
me
over.
Arresting, that's, they.
And then, now I had all these other crimes that we got to deal with.
Yeah.
Of course, because then at the end, she's like, look, okay, I thought maybe, you know, you were drinking, and you're obviously not. But that doesn't change the fact that this inspection sticker, now that's on you. You know, now I realize you said it's your parents' vehicle, but you're driving it. And I was like, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry about that. And I know I have insurance. I just don't have proof. I don't. So, and she let me off.
She didn't even give you a ticket.
Didn't even give me a ticket.
She could have given you tickets that mom and dad would have to pay. You probably had $500
but
worth of.
That's what I'm saying. Look, when you know, at first I was kind of being, I didn't do anything wrong. Of course, you know, and then she starts finding things I did. And so my attitude was like, I wasn't worried about it because I was like, I didn't do anything. And I was feeding off that. But when she got the cuffs out, I don't know, there was a fear that, you know, I'm like, I'm fixed to get arrested. And then I was thinking all this is piling up. And that's why when I read this, just having that one moment, even though it was 5 seconds, of Jesus, here's the creator of the universe, being arrested, and he's 100% innocent, and just knowing he went along with it just out of love. I mean, it's something that would just, it's hard for me to think that people just made this up. Yep. I mean, how would you even come up with this idea?
And it never went to his head, as they say. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right. Not at all.
You know, most people, if you ever ran up on one of them that's lived a good moral life, I mean, but they fall short of saying, I've never broken the law,
right?
Meaning the written word.
Well, now, what about y'all? Were y'all arrested?
Huh?
Have you ever been arrested?
Yeah, a time or two.
But it was foggy.
And in my case,
the reason you can't
remember.
You said
you weren't drunk because you didn't drink. Well, I was drunk because I did drink.
Yeah.
And they, you know, get on the pavement, you know, and they get you down on the road, spread eagle, and whatever.
That's what I was going to ask y'all.
That ends up costing you about $375 at the time, which I didn't have.
Probably add a zero to that. Yeah. But the reason I was asking that is if you had to go through all that, and you were 100% innocent. Even me, I wasn't innocent because there were.
Yeah, you had violations.
It ain't hard to find some.
Well, let me just give you an example here. That's over the last few days, and two or three people have commented. About 10 people have gotten in touch with me and asked me that I don't know about it. They put me, and they've interviewed me, and I'm a CEO of some kind of oil.
CBD oil.
And somebody says,
you're in there too.
So Owens calls me last night. He says,
what kind of oil?
It's all over the internet.
What's it called?
It's CBD. It's some kind of extract
EBD?
From marijuana. CBD.
CBD.
This has something to do with marijuana.
The only thing about marijuana.
He said, I just want to know one thing, for Robinson. I said, what's that? He said, that CBD. Oh, you're saying you know what that is? I said, I have no idea. What are you talking about?
I laughed.
And he said,
it's so stupid.
It's some kind of marijuana oil, but to take out some.
So somebody's trying to sell it?
No, the article said that Dad has started producing it.
I was right at death.
And he was flooding the market.
I was dying, and then I took this stuff.
He was flooding the market with a cheap.
But I don't have any recourse with somebody that says that. I mean.
I kid you not.
I don't know.
It's
a lie, by the way, if you saw
this. Somewhere. Oh, I was in Academy the other day. This is before duck season, and I have to make this quick. And it was a funny story. I meet this guy because I bought a Mojo box, one of the shakers, because they gave us three because we're sponsored by Mojo. But they said they were out of them.
You're talking about floating decoys here.
That are shaking.
Yeah.
And
put ripples on the water.
Yeah. And so I bought one, and he's like, why are you – isn't that your picture? The guy standing next to him, he's like, aren't you on that box? I said, well, yeah, but it's a long story. You know, we were looking at the picture, and he said, man, I'm so sorry, you know, about Si. And I kind of looked at him, and I was like, what are you sorry about?
We all are.
And he said, well, that he passed away.
Yeah,
I said, well, I got some good news for you. He said, what's that? Because he was shocked I said that. When somebody says, I'm sorry he passed away.
Yeah.
I said, he's still alive. He said, he came back?
we resurrected him.
I said.
With CBD oil.
He never died. And he said, I read on the internet. And look, I said, let me just
stop right
stop
there.
You right there.
Stop right there.
He said, that didn't happen? I said, it never happened. He said, well.
Oh,
he said,
Si and Dad had both died.
They had me near death. I'm the CEO of a company who makes marijuana oil.
And Si's dead.
And they say that I, you know, right at the point of death, it turned my family around. I've been interviewed by people. It was the biggest bunch of lies.
Everything in it is not true. And then
the
Jace
whole
was
thing
in it.
Is just
this, he and his son Jace went on live television.
They're selling this stuff off of. I made it. I lived, and this is what saved me. And you can get it at cut rate price. So the question is,
is
it somebody just sitting behind a computer, some 19-year-old in a college doing
it?
Or is it, you know, because they had, but last night it was Breitbart. Breitbart.
But why are we talking about this?
One of them said the Daily Post.
How did we get off on this? What was the point of this?
I'm just saying when Jesus was a perfect man.
Oh,
and you say, well, at least we're never charged and accusations because here we are, fallible men. But
I will say this: When Paul wrote to, was it the Colossians?
But
when
there's he said a lot of lies being told about God's people, too.
He freed us in chapter 1. He said he freed us from accusation, which Satan's name means accuser.
That's right.
Because we can say, which I know the world gets mad when we say that. They're like, oh, I guess you're forgiven. Yeah, I am forgiven.
That's right.
By the blood of Jesus. I'm sorry you don't like it.
That's right. Well, we're out of time. We're actually over time.
That was quick.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.